But let's go first off right now to Ivan. Ivan, welcome to the broadcast. Thanks for joining us.
Brandon, finally, thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Like, long overdue. Been trying to get on the show for a while.
Well, we've seen you at CPAC and other stuff, but thank you for being with us. Really appreciate it. Hey, look at this article I just found. Where'd it go? On the Gateway Pundit, they just had an article. Here it is. Insiders, Kevin McCarthy does not have the votes.
Correct. That's absolutely
true. For House Speaker. Tell me about this.
Yeah, so basically a couple weeks ago, the Freedom Caucus was populating an idea around on essentially promoting Speaker Trump to be the Speaker of the House. And when we saw the initial internal conference vote occur, you had 31 members that voted for Andy Biggs, and then five other members voted for someone else. Now, it's been secret in terms of who they voted for. It'd be interesting to find out who that was, but let's just call it this. 36 votes went for somebody not Kevin McCarthy, okay? Now, that means that he only got 188 votes of the conference. You need 218 votes on January 3rd to become the Speaker of the House. He clearly does not have that number. And so now they have to determine who's going to be that consensus candidate. You have folks such as Bob Good out really vocally saying that, you know, they're a hard no on Kevin McCarthy. Matt Gaetz, hard no. And then you have others out there from the Freedom Caucus. Bottom line is all it takes, if we have, say, for example, 221 Republicans at the end of this election or selection process by January 3rd, that means that only basically four members of the Republican caucus need to not vote for Kevin to guarantee he's not the Speaker of the House. And so that begs the next question. When is he going to rescind and essentially put out a memo saying that he's dropping his candidacy? Because, I mean, there's a couple things there. This is before the scandal on FTX came out too, by the way, Brennan. So now that we have all this, the FTX money that originated with our U.S. Treasury, went to the Ukraine invested it in FTX. FTX then funded political campaigns on the left and right to include supporting Katie Hobbs, Abigail Spanberger's Virginia 7th Congressional District. She's a John Brennan lackey. But not only on the left, the right received that money as well. Kevin McCarthy received money, and he used that money to go after America First candidates to include Joe Kent. And when he did that, it is my personal mission to guarantee that Kevin McCarthy is now no longer going to be the Speaker of the House at a minimum. And we're going to do everything in our power to make sure that he is ejected out of Congress and subsequently charged for the corruption that he deserves, along with everybody else that received that tainted FTX money, as well as Kevin, Mitch McConnell.
Yeah.
CCP,
you know,
Mitch.
Interesting you just mentioned FTX, because I just saw this article at Gateway Pundit. FTX was funding biological weapons shelters. Now, why on earth was this going on?
All right, so I haven't seen that one. I'll have to confirm whether or not that's accurate or not. I mean, obviously it's on Gateway Pundit. I'll have to do my own research and studying. But going back to FTX, I mean, this whole cabal of corruption, it's so in our faces. For example, you have the New York Slimes hosting an event with the CEO of FTX. And guess who's on the panel to actually be a speaker at that event?
Who?
A guy by the name of my beloved Mikey Pence. When I say beloved, that's massively sarcastic, because your viewers may know, some of them anyway, that I was the guy that came up with the Pence card memorandum that President Trump retweeted, basically warning Mike Pence that, hey, if you don't do the following, you're going to be violating the Constitution and you're going to have to face the consequences eventually. Guess what? He is now in a position to cover up the FTX scandal by promoting his book. What is his book, the title of his book? How I Became a Ku Crew Member, I think is what the name of the book is. Maybe I'm mispronouncing it. It might be something else.
Well, a lot of us were duped by Pence. That is for sure.
Yeah, he was the one that, I think this might be the first time that I'm saying this publicly, but I recall vividly that back, it was a couple years ago when I was in a hotel lobby. And one of Mike Pence's surrogates, an attorney, shared with us that it was on one occasion where he saw Mike Pence very vocal, very aggressively trying to advise President Trump on a matter. And that matter was early in 2017 to go ahead and fire General Michael Flynn. And that was after having a meeting with none other than the DOJ and the FBI coup crew, Sally Yates, Andrew McCabe, James Comey. So I kind of, I observed the treasonous, I guess, behavior of Mike Pence early on. And I'm glad to see that, you know, on January, or on December 23rd, when I put out the memo, and then subsequently on January 6th, I think most of the conservative movement now, I'd say 99%, considers him as such as well. And then I've done some research and investigations into his role on January 6th, as well as December 23rd, on how he clearly violated the 12th Amendment by not allowing for a quorum to be present during that joint session on January 6th. He and Nancy Pelosi only allowed 44 members of the House and Senate to preside, and you're required 2/3 of the states to do so. And then when he exercised his non-authority to order around the Department of Defense and the DC National Guard, that was essentially a coup, because in order for him to be the acting commander in chief, Mikey Pence, that is, he has to exercise the 25th Amendment, Section 4, removal of the president with the cabinet. Now, they did so by force, but they didn't do it legally, because that section of the Constitution requires that he submit a memorandum to the Speaker of the House and the President Tempore of the Senate, memorializing that he and the cabinet just voted for the removal of the president to then be able to exercise their executive authority by ordering the DOJ, DHS, and the Department of Defense around. And on the receiving end of that order, General Milley testified before the Mike Pence J6 cover-up committee when he said that Mike Pence was unambiguous and clear in his orders when he ordered me to deploy the National Guard to conduct the coup on the Article I branch of government, so that the objections and the evidence of an illegally certified election would not be shown for the whole world to see. So I have a lot of research and evidence and investigations that I've conducted on both of those aspects. And we can go into more detail in the future if you'd like.
Yeah, I'd love to. And of course, I'd like to know more, if you know anything, about the fact that it was Pence that brought in people like Deborah Birx and others into the inner circle. Do you know, you have any information on that?
Yeah, absolutely. So if we look back to March of 2020, it was me. Remember when Mike Pence said, "Oh, me, Mr. President, you need to call on me to be the CCP-19 task force lead." And then guess who came in subsequently? Anthony Fauci with his ouchies, right? And then Deborah Birx. All the friction that we saw in the entire first term of President Trump, all roads lead back to Mike Pence. And then since the CCP-19 task force was created, the secondary shadow governor of the CCP-19 task force was a gentleman by the name of Jared Kushner. Yes, I have conversations and discussions with numerous people that explain that. Now, once you start to follow...
Are you telling me that Jared Kushner was involved in sabotaging his own father-in-law's administration in part?
I'm gonna say this, that I think most people would reach that conclusion, but what I've observed is that he participated in the decision-making process to ruin our economy by shutting things down, doling out contracts to both Democrat and Republican governors. Because remember, as the CCP-19 task force lead, it was essentially in there interacting with the governors, the Governors Association and the different governors, to promote some of these policies so that they could dole out contracts on all these emergency use authorized products. So when we start to investigate them, Pence, Cheney's, all the impeachment voters, voters in the Senate and the impeachment managers, as well as on the right side of the aisle, Pence, Lindsey Graham, Richard Burr, Jared Kushner. Once we investigate them, how they're investigating President Trump, General Flynn, and myself, I've been under 10 investigations myself.
Why? What are you under investigations for?
Oh, because I exercised my First Amendment right in a very, very corrupt, identifying manner, where I essentially I do investigations, showcase my evidence, and it goes after these individuals that I just mentioned. So, they've gone after me. The J6 cover-up committee has gone after me. Okay.
Were you there in D.C. on January 6th?
Of course. Who wasn't there? I was at the Ellipse.
I wasn't there.
Seriously. Well, then you're not a patriot, then. I don't know what to say. So I was at the.
I was on the air. I was on the air okay, that day. I was on the air live reporting about it though, live while it was happening. I actually was on air reporting about it, and saying what was happening.
No, when you say was I there, I mean the devil's in the details, right? Was I at the White House in the VIP section inside of the bubble where the Secret Service searched everybody to make sure that you could be there and participate and listen to the speech? Absolutely, of course. That's where the epicenter of patriotism was in the country at that point. And then as I started walking towards the Capitol and I saw some of the smoke billowing and whatnot, I thought to myself, because at that time I had approximately, I think it was 187,000 Twitter followers verified. And I had basically been promoting these legal strategies on correcting the constitutional violation that we're still currently under. If I got close enough to where there was a transgression, you would have seen my face absolutely everywhere. But because I didn't shut up, they tried to investigate me and pin me with something. And when they couldn't find something, they went and scrutinized me in every single capacity that I've been in. So I've been a contractor in the Defense Department. I've also served as a reservist. I just recently retired as a Lieutenant Colonel, Green Beret, former intel officer in the reserves. And so they tried to pin me with something. One of the biggest publications in the world, known as, I believe it's pronounced Reuters, but I think the U is silent. And they put out a hit piece on me, basically saying that I was using my military capacity for political purposes, thus violating the Hatch Act. And subsequently, they basically tried to force an investigation by my reserve unit, which lasted all about, 40 minutes after they watched the speech that I gave, which was nonpartisan, nonpolitical, focused on election integrity and in defense of the Constitution. I wasn't in uniform. I did not represent myself and in my military capacity, and I was off duty. So it was an opportunity to absolutely wholeheartedly embarrass one of the yellow press organizations on the planet, and then as well as another one by the name of New York Slimes. They constantly deploy one of their reporters. I guess it's one of their senior reporters, but they're pretty. They're neophytes when it comes to some of these rules, and it provides me an opportunity to further embarrass them and their publication. So I gladly enjoy when they try to confront me.
Wow. So when you saw that smoke and everything, did you back up and back away? Is that what you did or what? So you just stopped and turned around or what?
No, I looked and saw that there was a little pandemonium going on, and I went back 15 blocks away, I believe. I parked my car and just left. And to be honest, I think about that time is when Mike Pence basically said, I don't have the unilateral ability to do anything as it relates to this election. Meanwhile, at the same time that he did that, and when he did that, I thought to myself, you know what? This toxic, feckless coward is not going to defend the Constitution. So, I mean, it's pretty much over because, traitors just committed the biggest egregious act. And especially 2 minutes after that tweet that was tweeted out, that's when he gaveled in and basically said that he's not going to allow over 90% of Congress to participate in the joint session. So, I mean, it was an agreement between Pelosi, Pence, McConnell, Schumer, and McCarthy to essentially just cover the whole thing up. Don't expose all of the illegal activity that you and Mike Lindell and everybody, Steve Bannon and the entire movement have exposed over the last 2 years and continue to, and especially now with the new election that just was stolen in Arizona, they didn't want any of that to be aired. And so I've been under investigation by the DOD, like I said, the DOD in that capacity, the DHS. I'm on secondary screening. By the way, the day after the cyber symposium is when they placed me, I believe it was August 17th or something, on the secondary screening list. And that was because, all right, I don't like face toilets, the emergency use authorized products, face toilets. So that considers me in the category of domestic terrorist. I like to participate in enjoying my Christian Christmas holidays. So they said that if you're going to enjoy them together, you're a domestic terrorist. I don't know if you remember this DHS bulletin. And number three, if you had argued and showcased and proven beyond a reasonable doubt that the 2020 election was illegally certified, then you're also considered a domestic terrorist. Well, guess what? It doesn't work that way. The entity and individuals that wrote that DHS bulletin, guess what? we're going to be labeling you domestic terrorists for doing that. And then for folks like Fakebook and Twitter for promulgating that. And we're going to be going after Jack Dorkey and Suckabuck, as Mike Lindell likes to mention as his how you pronounce his name.
So, Ivan, let me ask you this with your military background. We just had on for an hour Todd Benzman. I don't know if you know who Todd Benzman is. Wrote the book Border Wars, Overrun, about Biden. He was just down in Tijuana. He's provided us with video. We got the scoop here, the first initial report. When I reported on this, I don't know, 10 days ago or more, he gave it to us before he could even write the article. The article's still not out, but he's working on it. In Tijuana, picture and video of a mosque, he says, has a nonprofit shoving Chechen Muslims over the border, speaking Russian. When I mentioned this to Rudy Giuliani the other night in the live interview, he said, wow, sounds like maybe they're preparing for another terrorist attack. We have Annie Cyrus here, who was born and raised in Iran. She tracks all this. She fears multiple terrorist attacks are coming on the same day at one time in major cities. Todd just said he believes we're at a very high level risk of a terrorist attack right now. What say you with your background?
So a couple of components there. On the one hand, I'm not surprised this is happening. Just the short answer is, are we at risk? Absolutely. You know why? Because our entire federal executive institutions are focused on making sure that everyone's trained in this self-mutilation training, whether it's the Department of Defense or whether it's the DHS, et cetera, across the board. They're focused on the domestic political persecution component, and they have no time whatsoever to look at our external threats, namely Chinese Communist Party just eating our breakfast, lunch, and dinner as it applies to the digital ecosystem, right? To change our psyches on what's right and what's wrong. Number two, Russia also has an interest in making sure that we're weakened. So why not use some of their surrogates that they've used in the past in Ukraine, the Chechens, right, to be able to conduct this sort of activity? So it does not surprise me that this is going on, particularly, let's face it, a majority of America, I'd say we're at probably 75 to 80% of the American voters do not consider the Chinese Communist ambassador to the U.S. that's currently squatting in the White House to be the legitimate president, right? And so I'm referring to the gentleman by the name of Zhidin, is how you pronounce it, right? And so a majority of the leaders throughout the world as well do not consider him as a legitimate, duly elected, coherent individual, right? And so why not use that as an opportunity if you're an adversary to America to exploit that? And that's what I think is going on with, you know, what you just mentioned in Tijuana. It would not surprise me. And then the other component is, why wouldn't Iran do the same thing through their surrogate known as John Kerry, right? We all know that John Kerry is close with the Iranian regime, and you know, he hasn't registered as a agent of a foreign power, just like the, what's her name, the disinformation board lady who just registered as a agent of a foreign power. I don't know if you're familiar with that, Brandon, but remember, I can't remember her last name, Moskowitz or something. She was on the DHS board. So these are the individuals.
She was the lady that did the chalk fingers, nails on chalkboard singing. Mm-hmm. Was that her?
Yeah, I think that was, yeah. I mean, I don't know what she identifies as, but I identify her as an absolutely mentally unstable, incoherent, low IQ, irrational actor currently somehow associated with our federal government. Meanwhile, she's registering as a foreign agent. I mean, we have the entire executive branch of our government completely captured by, at a minimum, Chinese interests. It looks like Russian influence as well as Iran, depending on who you are. I mentioned one in particular, right? John Kerry. So I'm hoping next week, I was just on Tucker Carlson's daily program last week, and I'm hoping I go into a lot of detail on how that executive capture looks like from my perspective with my background. And hopefully that'll air this week so that folks can kind of see what that looks like. But bottom line, I mean, our federal government is not a friend of the American people right now. It is doing everything in its power to create wealth for itself individually, right, at the expense of our national security and at the expense of basically collapsing our entire country.
So what do you see?
I mean, we see that with Garrett Ziegler's report. We see, right, with the Hunter Biden laptop report that he just published, explaining 459 crimes committed by Hunter, his siblings, his uncle Jimmy, and his father, who's now pronounced Jaden, right? So I mean, it's funny, but it's not at the same time, because this is legit, really what's going on. And I would love to hear anybody to counter my arguments, because I have done probably more research on a lot of these topics than really I would say anybody else. And that doesn't sound too humble, but bring it on if you have something that I don't.
Well, you're going to be a regular. I guess I'm now really disappointed I waited so long to interview you, but I really didn't know. I learned more about, you know, I have some... Let me put it this way. Okay, I've met you at CPAC. And you're pretty reserved. You're not the same guy off camera as you are on camera. So if I had seen this guy off camera that I'm seeing now, I'd be like, oh yeah, we got to get him on. Yeah. So
I'm reserved. What are you talking about? I'm totally reserved right now. I just wanted to be polite and respectful to you because you're busy. I don't want to interrupt your show. Meanwhile, if you want me to totally dominate against these libtards and go complete red pill on them, by all means, I got the receipts.
I got the receipts. All right, so let me ask you, what do you think is coming in 2023? Before I want to get back to Speaker of the House as well, and Trump and Mike Lindell is chairman of the RNC and
yeah, baby. I endorse him on the show right now. Mike Lindell as chairman of the RNC, but I don't have a vote.
You realize all right, there's only 168. You realize the establishment right now is turning. They're just turning over and over. They're just spinning. They don't know what to do with this.
Absolutely. So he needs 85 votes. And behind the scenes, I'm going to help him do that, because some of those members of the RNC, I do know, and some of them are actually, if Lee Zeldin does not run, I really think that if I was advising Mike, I'd recommend that he have a conversation with Lee Zeldin to determine kind of like the path forward for the party, right? And if Lee Zeldin decides not to run, I really think that Mike Lindell has a very good chance of unseating Ronna Romney. You know, Mitt Romney's niece, I guess.
So,
you know,
so wait
the one
a minute.
With the massive lips. So, he just did Botox, I don't know, 40 times maybe.
So what makes you think, because Roger Stone was on here last night, and Roger's sharp as a tack, and he was saying this
I love Roger Stone. He's a pessimist. When Roger Stone says stuff like that, I look at Roger in the eye and say, Roger, thank you. I take that as a challenge. So now I'm going to do even more to make sure that Mike Lindell wins the chairmanship. Thank you for that.
So,
Roger's a friend
Roger,
of the show, he's a friend of me, etc.
Roger likes him. Roger is a big supporter of Mike, and he'd love to see him win. He's just saying this is like a rigged thing. But what I'm hearing from you is many of the state GOP chairs and co-chairs, they're tired. They want a Mike Lindell.
Right, so here's how it works. For those that don't know how this works, there's 168 members part of the RNC, and it looks like this. You have 50 states and then six federal jurisdictions, meaning D.C., Puerto Rico, Virgin Islands, Guam, Mariana Islands, and there's one I'm missing right now. So that's six federal jurisdictions. Each of those 56 jurisdictions under our system have three voting members, the chair of that state party, the national committee man, and the national committee woman. So 56 times 3 equals 168. Okay, all you need is 85, one plus half, right? 84 is half, so one more, 85 members to go ahead and say, you know what, I'm sick of Ronna Romney for whatever reason. And I think, I mean, to be able to get the support of 85 people, I mean, you can have meetings and converse with them on the phone. 2-3 days is all it takes. The vote's in January. So I would recommend Mike to have a sit down and ask any questions and answer any questions of all 168 to lay out the path and plan. If he doesn't have one yet, then we'd be happy to help, of what the GOP should look like and why they should support him, as well as sitting down with Lee Zeldin to see where he's at. Because at the end of the day, Lee Zeldin and Mike Lindell want Ronna Romney out, because, I mean, epic failure. We're going to probably see the FTX money going back to the RNC, not only Kevin McCarthy and Mitch McConnell. And that's going to create a pretty significant problem for those that are not corruptly tethered to the monetary interests of the RNC. And that could be more than half, I would suspect.
All right,
and
so
that will provide an opportunity for Mike Lindell to go ahead and pull it off.
All right, so we need to get you on the Lindell report probably this week. Let Mike hear some of this from you on right on the air. Let's talk about phase one. January 3rd to January 2023. Tell me about that. Logan, by the way, will you call down to the kitchen and let them know that I will not be coming down for lunch, but I've got too many.
Sorry.
That's not your fault. It's not your fault. I got too many good guests. I've just heard from Steve Kirsch. Steve Kirsch is going to be coming on at 4 o'clock live from Australia. We have Susan Swift at 3:30 in 6 minutes. We have Usama Dakdok. We have Nicole, the attorney. We have some Ann and Dan that are farmers to talk about what's going on with our food supply. We've got a near, looks like a very potential crippling problem with right after Christmas with a rail strike. So apparently I'm not going to get a break because all these guests are asking if I'm going to be at the desk.
Yeah, you need an IV. I think you just need
so,
an IV.
Yeah, so what, will you call down there to the call down there to the mess hall and ask them if they could just bring me something up, and I'll eat it while we switch the camera to Leo, and I'll just eat over time because I'm about to pass out. So anyway, back to where we were.
Hey, give them a droplet of water and a breadcrumb. That's all you need.
tell me about phase one, January 3rd to January 20th you've written about.
Yeah, so here's how it plays out. I think the best path forward in order to remedy the constitutional crisis that we're in, the courts aren't doing anything, right? The executive branch is absolutely captured. So we have to rely on a legislative branch that's going to be able to literally just crush the opposition. And this is how we do it. January 3rd is when the 118th Congress comes into play. At that time, they vote for the Speaker of the House. That Speaker of the House must be President Donald J. Trump, who then does the following. When he does that, he gets immediate immunity from all this overreach by the DOJ, right? And peekaboo Letitia James over in New York.
Peekaboo.
What happened?
Are you guys picking up on his smart aleck comments that he mixes in with all these truth bombs? It's hilarious.
Come on, you gotta do it, right? You gotta keep it, entertaining. So check this out. Once that happens, he is immediately immune. So I always look at it this way. If you're immune from anything, you transition from defense onto offense. And I want to be America's law offensive coordinator. And if I was advising as the law offensive coordinator, I would say this. Once you're the Speaker of the House, Mr. President, you get to appoint your sergeant at arms, who then releases the 14,000 hours of tape as it applies to January 6th. I would even consider taking that role. Next, what would that person do? They would get to the bottom of the real story of January 6th. And then you would start to see folks like Ray Epps, John Sullivan, Michael Voss, who's Nancy Pelosi's son-in-law, coordinating the outer perimeter breach. And then you have the John Sullivan, who is coordinating with the inner perimeter breach leader, probably her daughter, because she was on the inside. Remember that video a couple weeks back when she was recording Nancy Pelosi saying that essentially she was advocating for the assassination of President Trump, as well as facilitating the entry onto the Capitol for trespass, when Nancy Pelosi said, oh, I can't wait for him to come to the Capitol. I'm going to punch him in the face. And if you look up, you know, there's been a lot of instances when somebody gets punched, it results in death. So obviously that is a attempted assassination, or at least advocating for the assassination of a president. And then as far as the trespass component, you see that there. So we're going to get to the bottom of that, and we're going to essentially criminalize all of them. And we're also going to identify the federal government's role, meaning the sergeant at arms and the Capitol Police Board's role in facilitating that entrapment. And we're going to start to see and get to the truth of the pipe bombs over at the DNC and the RNC. Paul Irving, the House sergeant at arms, who's fled to Tampa, and Nancy Pelosi has provided him with immunity by creating an office down in Tampa, supposedly. Like, all of this research, which we don't have time for right now to dig into. Brandon, I have done massive amounts of investigations on the Capitol Police Board's role in facilitating that entrapment on the 6th. Video, folks that are willing to sign sworn affidavits. I've been on numerous J6 defendant trials. I've interviewed folks. So I'd be happy to take that, coupled with all the research that I've pulled from Darren Beatty of Revolver News and some of these other folks that are out there really doing, you know, great God's work, the Stop Hate folks related to J6 investigations, to basically package it and present it to you with some slides.
But yeah, I'd love that. But let me ask you this real quick. What about the mysterious death of the police officers after the fact?
Yeah, so there were four people that were murdered. I call them extrajudicial killings by our federal government, right? Ashley Babbitt, Roseanne Boylan, and a couple gentlemen. As far as the police officer, Brian Sicknick, he was ruled to be to have died due to natural causes. The question that needs to be answered is, was it due to the Pfizer natural cause of death or the Moderna natural cause of death? I see, because when he died by January 6th, that was already, those two clot shots were already out there. Some people call death jabs, right?
Right.
And he because he died of a blood clot. We all know now, based on the new movie by Stu Peters and all this other content out there, it's very reasonable to think that the prevailing hypothesis is he died from either Pfizer or Moderna.
What about the suicides? Didn't two of these guys commit suicide, supposedly?
No. That's what the mainstream media said. When you actually look into it and do the research, two of them died from a heart. Their heart exploded from the concussion grenades being thrown into the crowd, for the crowd to disperse, because they exploded so close to him that essentially he had a heart attack and his heart exploded. That's how one of them died, and I think potentially two of them died. Four of them.
But I thought there was reports of some of the Capitol, one of the Capitol police officers committing suicide weeks after the whole January 6th thing. That's not true?
That's afterward. No. You have Hollywood actors that murdered more people than any Trump supporters in the collective did on January 6th. And you know who I'm talking about.
Let's see. Capitol police officer suicide after January 6th designated as line of duty death. That was CBS. So what I'm saying, that's what I'm trying to say is.
No, that's after January 6th. I'm referring to January 6th and that.
Yeah, no, I'm asking you though about January 6th.
That's to divert. These articles are to divert and distract from what really happened on the 6th. And so we're going to get to the bottom of that.
How do we know these guys really committed suicide? I mean, I guess what I'm asking is, were there any cops out there that were about to spill their beans and scream and holler? And all
right.
of a sudden they're
and
not here.
We're only going to be able to find that out with a sergeant at arms that's appointed by Speaker Trump that will get to the bottom of all this investigation.
Look at this headline I just found, Newsweek. Look at that.
I don't believe that. I don't trust that source, but go ahead.
But look at that. I mean, what is really going on here? I'm saying, doesn't there need to be an investigation? Are we really to believe these guys all committed suicide?
No, we don't. So I presume if it's something involving our government, I presume guilt. Because the reason why I presume guilt when it's an executive branch or a federal government actor is because they have all the resources in the world and they get paid essentially to prosecute or defend themselves anytime that they're represented in court or a court of public opinion essentially. Now, if you're a private civilian, there's presumed innocence. So there's that dichotomy. So we have to investigate everything that occurred as it relates to January 6th. Now, one last thing I want to say, because I know you got to go, is as it relates to Speaker Trump, after appointing the sergeant at arms, there are a couple other things that need to happen. There needs to be a Nuremberg 2.0 style commission that gets launched to go ahead and go after the Mike Pence's, the Jared Kushner's, and the Deborah Burks and the Anthony Fauci's, all the way down to the school board that forced EUA masks on children to create asphyxiation. You have the CCP 19, you have the Chinese Communist Party's influence. We need to create, you're old enough, Brandon, I think, to remember the HUAC, right? House Un-American Activities.
Absolutely,
Committee,
yeah.
Where we have to bring that back to showcase the absolute deep-rooted capture of our government by Chinese Communist Party interests, and then probably Russian, like I said, Russian, Iranian, etc. Recruited assets, potentially, like your Eric Swalwell Wells, right? Like your Lindsey Grahams, like your Richard Burrs of the world. And then we have to essentially go after the big tech and big media companies that were also captured in order to force censor, myself included, for articulating constitutional paths to remedy of the illegally certified 2020 election. As soon as they started censoring people like me on different topics, that's when I flipped all of my resources to start investigating them. So when DHS started investigating me, guess what? I know enough people in the system to start investigating back. When the FBI launched an investigation on me, guess what? I launched an investigation on those individuals. And I've got dirt on so many people, and I guess I'll be trickling it out in the coming weeks.
Well, I hope you are still breathing to do that.
Easy. Bring it on.
Easy peasy. Any comment, Leo? You're blown away
by
this?
There's only two things that'll happen. One is either we win, or two, we don't lose. And under no circumstances are they going to win. So it's one of those two options. So it's up to them.
I mean, we ought to be able to outsmart Nancy Pelosi, because she's got to be one of the most, you know, lacking in intelligence people around. Surely the American people and patriots could outsmart Nancy Pelosi and her crew, right?
Hey, you need to convince Mike Lindell to tell President Trump to go ahead and become the speaker. Now, this plan, by the way, is only a 2.5-week play. So all these committees that I present forward, this is going to be a nonstop pay-per-view style event on C-SPAN 1, 2, and 3, where we showcase for the whole country. Oh, as part of those committees, not only are we exposing everyone, but we're also holding impeachment nullification votes for the first two impeachment hoaxes under the previous Congresses, so that we basically then at the end of those, nullify impeachment hoax one, nullify impeachment hoax two, criminally refer Eric Cherumillo, the whistleblower, his two attorneys, Mark Zaid and Andrew Bacaj, expel from Congress the impeachment managers for both impeachment hoaxes. And then in addition to that, we're going to go ahead and start impeaching folks like Zhidin, like the deputy chief of mission for China over at the Naval Observatory. Also, our good
friend Mike Pence. That would be, for those who don't know who lives at the Naval Observatory, that is Kamala Harris.
Yeah, I think her nickname's Mamala, which in Spanish means suck it, so you can realize what that really, you know, refers to. I mean, I'm just translating the word, her nickname, and she claims it. I'm like, my nickname is Mamala. Well, guess what? In Spanish, that is literally the command version of the verb mamar, which means to suck. And when you say Mamala, it means suck it, referring to a noun that is in the feminine version of it, la, right? Mamala. And then we all know what that refers to, because there's only one thing that refers to when you're actually saying that in the Spanish language. But we're not, it's a family friendly show, so I get it.
But you're saying she really brags about that?
She does. You can look it up. Fact check and law check everything I say. Wow. Always.
Wow. No wonder.
Never trust me. Always verify.
I have no idea why you're under investigation.
I can't
imagine why.
Yeah. Yeah. I like this gentleman's ideas. First time I've met you or seen you, Ivan, this is Leo Homan here, but
hey.
Yeah, I like it, because it all seems to go back to putting our enemies, the left, the globalists, however you want to describe them, back on their heels. We spend so much time as conservatives back on our heels defending against
these
attacks. Yes.
Yeah, led by the illustrious, toxic, feckless, coward simp, Mikey Pence, who says,
right.
Oh, I have to get approval from the Supreme Court before I do anything.
He
no,
is the very definition. Yes.
My wing and give you a massive nuggie and then pat you in the butt and say, run along, because I'm going to flick you like a booger. You no longer represent any of us in this party. You're polling at about zero, sometimes at about 0.5%. So why don't you scurry along, go to Ukraine and do your thing and get your FTX money there, because you're not welcome. You're not welcome in my party.
Did Pence get FTX money?
Well, I'll say this. I can't answer that yes or no, but he's speaking with the CEO of FTX at this New York Slimes conference.
Wow.
It's so in your face, Brandon.
Did you know that it's reported that Mike likes to refer to his wife as mother?
Yeah, if you go back to 2016, there was an article in 2017 or 2018 in a place called, I call it Politico, right? It's a main DC disinformation purveying source of information. Politico, right, is how it's pronounced. I think it's Politico. But nonetheless, in Politico, there was a big piece on Mikey Pence, right? Mikey P, as I like to call him. And so he basically, they talk about how, like, oh, he had to consult with Mother at the time when Donald J. Trump was talking to the Access Hollywood guy, and he used some language that was so offensive to me, I had to consult and I had to pray for 48 hours to determine whether or not I was going to continue supporting Donald Trump because of his statements. He made noises that were so anathema to my core well-being. Help me. Meanwhile, what was he doing? He was calling Paul Ryan to commit a coup back in 2016 to remove him and try to conduct a removal of the candidate Trump, so that Mike Pence could be the president and Paul Ryan could be the VP. And ever since that day, he's been covering up and creating all the friction as it relates to Trump. I'll say this, and I've done investigations on this as well. On January 31st, when Crossfire Hurricane was launched, 2 weeks after Mikey Pence was foisted on Donald Trump to be the vice presidential candidate with Trump, you don't think that Mike Pence, after having served 13 years in the House from 2001 to 2013, 10 of those 12 years on the House Judiciary Committee, at the same time that Robert Mueller was the director of the FBI, you don't think Mike Pence and his staff knew that the spying on the Trump campaign was going on, at the very least, and more than likely providing the necessary top cover for James Comey to continue that spying into the presidency and then onward and so forth into the, I call them the six coups, probably providing top cover by Mike Pence to all of it?
The question is,
we don't have time to talk about this, but I have all the details and receipts. I've done hours of podcasts on
it. Oh, we're going to have you back, no doubt about that. The question, though, is why does Mike so cooperate with them? Why is that yours or mine? It was mine. Why does Mike so cooperate? I thought Logan's bringing his own lunch up here, parading it by me. Why does Mike Pence so cooperate with them? Do they have something on Mike Pence?
Now, there's a lot of discussion in the in the chats and everything. Everybody's telling me, "Hey, Ivan, you need to look at Mike Pence because he's part of these pedophile rings in Indiana, this and that." Like, I haven't looked into that. I'm not that's not my expertise, nor do I want it to be. Right? Unfortunately, right? I just don't go there. We have enough to basically slam this guy with all these illegal constitutional activities. But he is suspect. To answer your question more directly, I'll say this. What do they have on him? He has been in the system so long, and he represents the interests of the cabal. I call it the coup crew, the uniparty, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I argue at this point, unless we remedy Arizona right now as it stands, and I wrote a Substack about this in detail by the numbers by state, right now Mike Pence has locked in 275 electoral votes with his people that are loyal to him for 2024.
Wow.
275 wow. Electoral votes.
You know, I used to wonder to myself over the last year, year and a half, how in the world can Mike Pence even think that he could run for president? He's so unpopular among Republicans of almost all stripes. You know, even most rhinos seem to detest
easy.
Him.
I lay it out on my Substack, but briefly to answer that question, 100%, you're right. He is polling at zero. But that didn't stop Biden, that didn't stop
right.
Harris, and that didn't stop Katie Hobbs.
Well, that's right, because if it's a selection, not an election, then it doesn't matter.
Exactly. That was going to be my point.
So they're
point.
Just setting up Mike Pence for when it's his turn.
Right, and he knows that, and that's why he stays in the public eye. The fake news corporate media roll him out on cue whenever he needs to get some publicity. He was recently on, I think, CBS 60...
60 or, Minutes.
Yeah.
60 Minutes.
And so...
Hey, Brandon, if you could do me a favor... Can we do like a 5-hour discussion debate, me and Mike Pence, so that I can absolutely tear him down and showcase to the entire world of every single discretion or
let me call Mike and see.
Let
me call Mike Pence and see if he'll come on Lindell TV for 5 minutes, much less 5 hours. Let me see how that works out.
Right.
All right, I gotta run. I'm getting backed up, and I got so many people. I will be texting with you. We'll get you on next week.
I'm retired now. And I've got a lot to share, so bring me on as much as you want.
That's going to happen. Thank you, Ian. Hey, Ivan. Ivan the Great. Ivan, do you have a website, Ivan?
Just go to my Substack, ivanraiklin.substack.com, and my musings are on Telegram. Just my last name, Raiklin. You'll find me on there, Ivan Raiklin.
Thank you, Ivan.
So
appreciate it.
Thanks, Ivan.